This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 120. The new Xbox experience means you can't go home again. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister,
and I'm Pandalicious,
and I would like to welcome you to another episode of the Electric Sisterhood podcast.
I wave in your general direction.
What are you waving in the general direction, though?
My hand.
Okay, just asking, because sometimes I have to clarify that with you.
No, it's my hand. Okay. I've learned my lesson.
Fantastic. Let's move on. Before we jump into the fun stuff of the podcast, you've got to keep hitting us up on our website, people. It's www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You can check any articles that we've written within the week, comment on them thusly. If you don't have anything to do on the articles, you can go to the hit us up link and ask us a direct question or anyone on our staff. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can find us there. You can put us into any RSS reader. You can find us that way. You can plug us into pretty much any podcast search engine imaginable. My preference is Podcast Pickle. Or if you're one of the cool kids, you're probably hearing us on the All Games Network.
That's right. The Electric Sisterhood podcast airs Monday night, every Monday night. So it's a weekly deal on the All Games Radio Network. You can find it at allgames.com. You can check out our show Monday nights, 9 p.m.-ish Eastern, 6 p.m.-ish Pacific time. And catch some other quite amazing shows over there, like,
Dead Pixel Live.
Dead Pixel Live.
Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Ultimate Quest,
Evil Avatar.
I mean, there's a bunch of just ridiculously entertaining programs.
Redonkulous, even.
Oh, you went there, didn't you? You just had to go with the donkey piece.
Yes.
Which reminds me, I watched Clerks 2 last night. Ooh. That's all I have to say.
Oh, my.
I know I'm supposed to be getting into the business and all that kind of stuff, but
I know.
You say redonkulous, and now my brain just can't.
You're killing it.
I know. All right, let me stop. So with that, I don't have a candy bitch, but I...
Why don't we give some to Zeno? He wants to be a candy bitch.
Zeno hasn't been on the show yet. He's in the drawing.
He doesn't have to be on the show to get candy.
I know he doesn't have to be on the show to get candy,
man,
but you know what?
Give the man his M&Ms.
You know what? You just ruined every fucking surprise, because when I had him on the show, I was going to be like, dude, and for being so cool and being on the show, I'm going to send you candy. But now, I can't even do that, because you're like, just give him candy.
Just give them.
Let me just give all your friends candy. Let's not, like, make anybody, like, put in any effort or anything like that.
He's not just my friend. He's your friend, too.
This is true. But you talk to Zeno more than I talk to Zeno. And I kick his ass in Dead or Alive more than you do.
I don't play Dead or Alive.
I know. You should. It's awesome.
No.
Also with Soul Calibur. No. Actually, I think it was Soul Calibur that I kicked his ass in. I can't remember. I was beating his ass.
It was Soul Calibur 4, because he whooped me. And then... I told him that you had better skip.
That's right. That's right. And then I whooped him with his boy. That's right. Yeah.
Who's his boy?
Killick.
Oh, really? I thought he liked that big black axe-like scythe dude.
Astaroth he's good with, but Killick is definitely his go-to guy. And
I see.
Kicked Killick's ass.
Okay.
So, moving along. I don't have anything... additionally any fun other than to tell you guys that our What I Want for the Holidays episode is coming, so definitely check that one out. I'm gonna kind of recap some of the stuff that we've really enjoyed over the year and things that are coming out either right around your holiday season or after your holiday season. Basically the stuff you want other people to buy for you. We're gonna let you know that stuff right off the bat, so
I want a pony.
You're not getting a pony.
Can I get a new headset?
Possibly. But you're not getting a pony. You can barely be responsible enough to walk your dog.
You know what? I really hate how you just cut me down.
Dude, do you take your dog for your walks? Do you?
I take her out.
Wait, no, that's not. No, that's not what I asked you. I said, do you take your dog for walks?
No, she sleeps all day. She doesn't want to walk. She wants to sleep.
She's a dog. All dogs want to walk. You don't want to walk your dog. There's a difference.
Okay, can we stop cutting me down and get back to the show?
I'm not cutting you down. I'm just calling, you know, I'm calling the spade a spade. I'm letting people know the truth. You keep saying I want a pony. Ponies are work. Okay?
Yeah.
Ponies can't sleep all day. Ponies gotta run.
Can I get a tripod?
You can... Are you talking about a tripod horse or like a tripod for like camera?
A tripod for a camera.
Dude, you can get a tripod for a camera. I just thought
actually,
you were about
to... Actually, it's a particular one. It's a Manfrotto with a Balsan head.
Oh, well, now, aren't we trying to be pimp?
Oh, God, the one I brought from school was so hella sexy.
You have to talk to someone.
That's like
that.
orgasm of the photography world. Oh, my God. Just thinking about it makes me...
All right. Hey. Before you go down that pike, I'm just going to give you the mic of a thousand truths and let you go first this week.
I finally get my spot back.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I figured it's about time. It's about to be a new year. Change is in the air. All that kind of thing.
Well, we're going to talk about change. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone's over the whole Obama's going to be the next president.
No,
I think
not.
It's awesome. Woo! Mom cried. Esh mom cried like she had been a slave. And they're like, slavery's over. Like, I was like, whoa, mom.
I can't believe that that's the parallel you drew.
From mom, yeah, you weren't here. You didn't see her. She was just like, I didn't think this would happen in my lifetime.
We were on the phone at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Getting back to it, I haven't been watching that much anime lately, but at the club that I run on my campus, somebody brought in this anime, which is new to me, in a sense.
Okay.
It's one of those series that came, you know... That comes after a different series in the same
it's
genre.
Tell me, another Dragon Ball. What are we up to? Dragon Ball 37.
Yeah, it's like GTXY1349
-A.
But anyway, it's actually from the Gundam franchise, and it is Mobile Suit Gundam Double Zero. And the first time. We aired this in the club. Not many people were responsive to it. But then again, we were all hungry waiting for the pizza to show up. So that's probably why.
Right.
But we went and revisited it last week. And I'm very surprised because...
So it's Mobile Suit Gundam Revisited?
We revisited Double Zero.
Okay.
In the club. And, you know, it's really weird because if you look at the dynamic of the club, there are more girls than guys. You know, and a lot of the girls will, you know, really like really cute, you know, cute stuff with some off animation. Like, if you've ever seen Auron.
Right, but that's not really surprising. I mean, the majority of people, especially in the U.S., that consume anime are your tween and young females.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it doesn't surprise you that an anime club would have... Well, it's really funny because I know the anime club at, like, MIT is predominantly male.
Well, the student body at MIT is predominantly male.
So, that makes sense, too. Anywho...
Give it up for the nerds!
It's a nerd's world.
Mm-hmm.
But when this came on, like, the whole room went quiet. Like, you know, as soon as, you know, the opening song came in, all the guys were quiet. But as soon as we're, like, watching it, like, all the girls started to lull down. And it's really funny where you see the dynamic of, you know, everyone pretty much all cute and peppy and bright from Auron to really serious and, oh, my God, I want to learn the intricacies of Mobile Suit Gundam Zero. And let me tell you, there is. Have you ever noticed how in a lot of Gundam or mecha anime, you know, the humans, quote-unquote, in it never really live on Earth? Like, something's up with Earth to the point where we have to go to space because we fucked up the Earth.
Yeah, most of the mecha that I've watched were either on another planet trying to get back to Earth and fix it. Or we're on New Earth or Earth 2 because we somehow...
We fucked up. I love how these animes are slowly predicting the fact that eventually we're going to fuck up this Earth so bad.
Although there's one, I can't remember which one, where aliens actually came and fucked the planet up while we were on it. So it wasn't really us that messed that one up, but I can't remember.
Wait,
the
title is that, Blue Gender?
Yeah, it is Blue Gender, because they came and
it's not that they were already on the planet.
Right, but then they reemerged.
Yeah, and then,
started fucking it up.
But, anyway,
by everybody so on the planet.
The same premise falls for, you know, Gundam, Mobile Suit Gundam Zero. Earth, you know, Earth is still there, and they still kind of, you know, are, you know, on Earth, you know, but it's like a futuristic Earth, and there are these three factions.
I should hope that it's futuristic. We're dealing with mobile suits, for Christ's
sake. Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the military has mecha suits right now. But they don't hover yet, and that's why they're not.
I bet they don't either move fast or respond to the pilot's will.
Yeah, well, they're working on it. Cognitive technology is a little more advanced than we're ready for.
They need to get Nerd Herd on that. Make it happen now.
Get the Nerd Hub on it.
I'm ready for mobile suits right now.
But anyway, so primarily the series is set on, you know, obviously futuristic Earth, and it's centered around this military force called Celestial Being, which is really kind of funny if you think about it, merging, you know, politics, technology with the concept of
faith.
You know, yeah, of faith. And this force and they have these efforts that they want to have world peace. And they don't want any more conflict. And they have these very unique, effective mobile suits. And they're the Gundams. The people who pilot them aren't just pilots now. They're called Gundam Misers, which I don't get. And I think it's actually really kind of stupid.
Okay.
Like, they should have just kept it pilot. Like, because I think Miser's more negative. But, you know, with Celestial Being, there's also the Union. And there's another faction, and the other two factions are trying to gang up on Celestial Being because they have these Gundams that don't use the same kind of technology that their suits do. Like, they're like, I think if you ever watched, like, Gundam Wing, you know, and, like, all the, you know, basic militaries were, like, the Leos and the Can't, like, they did it off of the Zodiac.
Uh-huh.
And they looked more, they were cruder. They looked crude compared to Gundams. And in this, they do the same type of thing. You know, they purposely want the Gundams to look different. And these five Gundams, you know, for Celestial Being, you know, they don't operate off fossil fuels. They're
green?
Mysterious.
Are they green technology robots?
I don't know.
Damn.
But anyway, so, I mean, in the beginning of it, in the first season, the big problem is that, you know, Earth is running out of fossil fuels. No shit! We're doing that right now. And they're looking for a new source of power. And the Union's like, oh, well, we know that the Celestial Beings are working off of something, and we want it. So we need to find these guys and, like, take their Gundams, or at least, like, analyze them. And they want to get them. And you have your run-of-the-mill characters. It's really funny because one of the Gundams actually looks like Wing Zero, except Wing Zero has a giant golden V on its forehead, and this one has, like, a small white V. So we call him, like, the baby brother of Wing Zero. And you'd think that if you're going to be the leader of this Gundam faction that you should have a disposition to want to kill yourself after everything you do. No.
Well, here's the thing. That's not necessarily the case. That's just what you think should happen because you love Hiro Yui.
I do. It is so true, I do.
So you can't let that really taint...
Mobile Zero. Or not Gundam Wing. Mobile Suit Gundam Zero. His name is Setsuna. And which is really funny because last time I heard the name Setsuna, it was in reference to a woman. But there are a lot of names in the Japanese culture that can flip-flop between the two. And he's been a part of Celestial Being since he was 14 because he's just been very gifted. And in the first episode, I think the Union is having a mock battle. And, you know, they're like star pilots, like, I can beat anything. I never fall down in battle. I am like such an asshole.
Okay. And like, hey,
and Setsuna is in his Gundam, and like he pretty much descends from the sky and whoops this guy's ass. Like, he goes Black Knight on his ass. It's like, there go your legs. There go your arms.
I can
like,
still butt your ankles. Come here, you git.
What are you going to do, bleed on me? Good thing these are mobile suits. And at least it wasn't like the mobile mechas like in Evangelion, where if you got hit somewhere or it got hit, you also got hurt. Because this guy would have totally been dead very fast. But, you know, so the first episode, they're kind of like, oh my god, that is an awesome machine. I want it. And Setsuna's just kind of like, blah, 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 blah. I'm the leader of this group. Everything I say is what we should do. And, you know, he feels that war can only be stopped through direct confrontation. So he thinks a bigger force could take out a smaller force. So he believes in oppression.
Oh, like, okay.
Like, he's just like, we're not going to end this war by resolving it peacefully. He's like, we got to confront this, you know, full on, you know, little tolerance for, he doesn't like diplomats, he doesn't like politicians. He's like, fuck the man. I'm a rebel, fuck the man.
Okay.
Rebel forces, fuck the man.
Okay.
And it's really funny. The thing about this anime that really kind of surprised me is, you know, they try to make the group... Like in Sailor Moon, they always try to make them look different and, like, come from different minorities, you know, even though they really didn't.
Diversity mechas.
It's, yeah, essentially.
Mechamizers.
Like, each of the mecha pilots comes from a different faction, like, comes from a different, like, republic of some of the factions. And they all look different. Like, there are some that are tan. There are some that are golden like we are. There's the white guy. Because there's always got to be one.
There's always got to be
one. I think he's German. I'm not sure. He hasn't said a lot yet. But,
if he says Das, you're good. You know that he's German.
But, it's really... Like, it was really interesting to see that they're slowly beginning to adapt and incorporate that into anime. And I like when they do it in an anime that deals a lot with diplomacy and deals a lot with, you know, different countries and war and politics, because it really drives things in to the people watching.
Well, I have a question for you about that, because I've noticed that happening a little bit more as well with some of the anime that I'm watching. Do you think that piece of trying to make more diverse ensemble cast for the ensemble anime is more about being able to market things better? Because if you have, you know, people representative of different countries, then you're more likely to be able to sell that very well to the people that then see themselves reflected in the entertainment. Or do you think that it's more of a thought of, hey, we need to be politically correct? Because I've never really kind of seen the Japanese culture all that worried about political correctness.
They never used to be. I think it's a mix of several different things. I mean, if you think back to earlier cartoons, like, you remember Captain Planet, right?
Of course I remember Captain Planet.
Of course you do. It was in our prime, or your prime.
Fuck you, we both watched it.
I know we did. But if you notice in that, they definitely went out of their way to make sure that they did.
Because they were talking about the whole damn planet, the ecosystem.
Well, yes, but
they couldn't make the planet tears a bunch of white people.
Well,
although,
never mind.
Did you notice that they made almost all the villains white people?
I know.
See, that's the one thing about Captain Planet that people don't talk about, is that almost all of the villains were privileged white people.
I think it's because they didn't want it. It's like, okay, let's make a Saudi Arabia-looking bad guy.
No, I think it's because they wanted to make a statement that the white man is fucking up the environment.
Well, it's not just the white man.
But I think that's the statement that was being made.
It's just, yeah.
Okay, but Boss Hogg, the chick that wanted to do all the toxin stuff.
And the funny thing is, the blonde chick, Meg Ryan, did her voice.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, they got Meg Ryan to do a voice for cartoons, which I thought was really cool.
Hey, voice acting pays well, and you don't have to dress up or worry about makeup fans or early calls in the morning.
All you have to worry about is laryngitis.
Exactly, and that's what Honey's for.
But they made that was easily marketable, though, because of that. Because I can remember us playing it, or at least me and the next-door neighbor kids, and I'm like,
that's more like it, you and the next-door neighbor kids. Because I did not like Captain Planet, but I had to watch it.
It was either that or Sailor Moon, and after a while, Moon Prism Power gets boring to say.
Darian!
I know. Anyway, but I always remember when we'd start, I'm like, either I could be a female version of Kwame, or I can be Gaia. And I was like, I'll be Gaia, so I could just sit on the
step. Which, by the way, is Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, I know.
You dropped Meg Ryan, so I got to drop Whoopi.
Yes, I knew it was Whoopi. I was going to go there when I said that that's who I was going to be.
Yeah.
But you beat me to the punch.
Yeah.
But that's what I would do. Like, that's what I would do. And so, I mean, going back to animes that are now becoming more reflective, to be honest, if I was that good at drawing to the point where I was making anime or any animation that moved when you flipped the pages... You know, if I was that proud, after a while, I would get sick of all my characters looking the same. I mean, so I'd want to eventually branch out and see if I could create characters that looked way different from anything that I've ever done. So, I mean, I think it's a little bit of the artist going, I'd like to see myself, you know, push myself in a different direction. But at the same time, this could be profitable because now, where I know in America, they have, you know, a stronger anime and manga pull that I want to incorporate them into my art. But that's just me. I'm a nice person. And if it gives me a little bit more money in the pocket, more money in the bank.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think that it's more of a marketing thing. And
so you think, companies are like, draw more Spanish!
Because
draw
here's the deal.
More blackies!
Here's the thing. Here's blackies.
Draw!
Here's the thing. I don't think that the artist really has all of that much pull when it comes to production and a series. I mean, when you look at how many episodes are being purchased, really the end-all client is the distributor of that particular piece. So what they want goes. You have very few artists that have enough pull and enough respect that they can walk in and really dictate all of the terms for whatever project they bring to the table. So I think that it's more of a, hey, look at how well our stuff is doing in America. Look at how well it's now being picked up in places like Germany and in London and in Paris, where you now even have some German animation houses and French animation houses now doing their own take on the Japanimation style. I think that it's more of a, this is our particular thing. It's now influencing the West. It's definitely selling very well. It could sell even more so if we bridge that gap, because there is a lot that's lost in translation. And we've talked about this on episodes before, where so many anime series I enjoy just with their English subtitles, because there's very little that translates completely across when coming from the one culture and the language to another. So I think that if you can create any type, especially with an ensemble group, the ability to reflect multiple people, then it's just more marketable and it's good business.
Right, that makes sense.
And so I think it's
point of view. I just like to say that there's, you know, a silver lining to every gray cloud. And
I do too, because I think that it allows an artist to then have a little more creativity and kind of push themselves outside of their norm. But I think that the marketing piece is pushing it more than an artist going in and saying, hey, TV Tokyo, I have this great idea for a series and it's going to allow me to draw people like I've never drawn them before. And it's going to let me make the main character a black person.
Well, what about that anime that I think we were talking about on the side a couple of weeks ago with the Gungoro Girls, which I actually found out through someone else who's been doing some research on it, that the main character is actually Latina.
No, I think it's great. What I'm saying is I don't think that that's more of a push from the artist side in taking a stance than it is let's open this up to more things and see what we can market. Because the Spanish community, and I do mean Spain Spanish community,
right,
loves the Japanese animation style animation. And a lot of the times, like, if you go to YouTube, most of the reason why a lot of those videos exist on YouTube is because they've been translated into Spanish or French and then been translated by somebody else into English. So I think that there are huge markets outside of the U.S., but I think that a lot of what you're seeing now that's slowly hitting mainstream and becoming more popular has to do more with now marketing and bringing product to a wider base than just the Japanese base, which is a huge base all it's on a huge its own. Base.
All your base are belong to us.
Okay, but I think that it is more of a marketing thing. I don't think that that's bad because I think it gives new artists and more artists more opportunity to bring their ideas to life. But at the end of the day, it is a business. And at the end of the day, for companies like distributing companies, their whole desire is to sell you and I box sets and empty boxes to put our individual DVDs in. And the more that we see ourselves represented or a piece of our character represented in the characters on the screen, the more likely we are to drop $299 for that exclusive box set with the figurine.
And the t-shirt. And the pair of panties.
And the pair of panties. And the lunchbox.
And the Hello Kitty vibrator.
I don't know what box set you bought with the Hello Kitty vibrator, but I did
not buy that. It was either with the present that I got you from the last Anime Boston... It was either going to be the thermos or the Hello Kitty vibrator.
Well, I'm very glad that you went with the thermos.
And they were both the same size box. So I gave them to Magic Mystic, and I'm like, whip them around behind your back, and then I'll pick.
Dude. The, like,
so let me Dude. Tell you, you almost got a vibrator.
Okay. I don't know how I really feel about Hello Kitty being on a vibrator.
Being in a vagina.
I was trying to keep you from going there, but I couldn't stop.
What? It is funny. You love it.
Good thing we're tagged. It's a good thing that we're tagged as explicit. That's what? All I'm saying.
It was a pussy and a pussy. For all you know, it
and
could be like
you've done it again.
Sylvester with like a tattoo of a cat on his arm. Hello.
That would be one Anna, not Inna. So let's just move on. Let's just move on.
Fine.
Let's agree to disagree, and let's just move on.
But anyway, so in terms of the series, I've only seen about 4 episodes because we go through an hour of a certain anime a night. So there's still a lot going on. I still have no clue who the real bad guys are because now that there's three different factions instead of just 2, I'm kind of going, okay. So 2 of them are going to gang up on one of them. I just don't know which way the flops are going to go.
Yeah, but that's nothing new for a Gundam series. Okay, If you watched Gundam Wing, you thought you knew it was one set of good guys and one set of bad guys. And then you had individual sub-leader guys that had their own plots. And so by the time it was done with Gundam Wing, you had like 3 different fractions, 2 people that kept going, oh yes, I'm this person, but I'm also this person. And then you turn around and everybody's somebody else. Nobody is who they say that they are. And nobody really kind of has a cohesive idea of what we're going to do.
Did you ever watch all of Gundam Wing?
I did watch all of Gundam Wing.
And you know Lady Un, right?
Yes.
She worked with Rolina's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Did you love how she like had a split personality? It's like, with my glasses on, I'm evil Lady Un. I take them off. I'm a loving, sensitive woman.
Yes, because glasses have the power to do that.
To make people evil.
When I put on my reading glasses, I become evil ninja, and I actually, kill people for fun. But when I take my glasses off, I'm the good ninja, and then I
only
kill people for
hire. And you only kill when you're contracted?
Exactly.
Oh. See, but I wear glasses all the time.
You're not a ninja, you're a panda. Pandas have different rules. I don't know what the panda rules are because
I should reread the panda manual.
You should probably read the panda manual.
There might have been some amendments since the last time I read it.
Definitely. So you probably want to start with the table of contents there and find out where the appendix is. Most places it's in the back, but I don't know. You pandas do things weird. It might be in the middle of the book, so definitely
kick up the thunder.
Okay.
I had to go there.
That's fine. That's cool.
Anyway, so from the four episodes I've seen, there's a lot going on. And since you're so far into the Gundam franchise at this point, because they're assuming if you're watching this one, you've at least watched two other ones before it. And then if you're a true diehard fan, you've watched it way back.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you probably. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking with you, sister. I'm just fucking with you. The animation is really great. The opening theme song is very catchy. And not catchy in the American sense of catchy, you know, catchy in the J-pop, J-rock fashion. I like it. I will probably find some way to procure it myself. 3 stars right now. Okay. We'll see where it goes.
All right.
But that's now you can take the mic now because I'm done.
Okay. So I am one of the few people that is currently playing with the Xbox Experience GUI interface, whatever you want to call it, experience right now.
I want an experience.
Well, you're going to have to wait like everybody else until November 19th.
Motherfucker.
No, thank you. Right now, I'm full. So I just kind of want to talk about my first impressions of the experience. I got to see a few demos of it, both when I was at PAX and through a couple of meetings that I had, bouncing around to different trade shows with people. And Chris Palladino over at Gamerscore was going to do an interview with us, but then, you know, he kind of has a hard time actually picking up his cell phone. So.
He pumped out!
He did punk out, just badly, very badly. He's promised he's going to make it up, but I haven't seen any emails
I honestly
yet.
Think we should invest in a Pandalicious stick of righteousness. And when people fuck with us, I beat them with it.
You would have to attend events with me, which would mean you would have to get on planes. And we know that pandas are pussies,
you know,
like that and don't get on planes.
You know what? They need to just stop with this whole we don't have teleportation devices and just plug those shits in and just do it up. Okay? Because I know they have them, okay?
No, they don't have a beaming system yet. Trust me, if we had a beaming system, when gas got to over $4 a gallon, if we had a beaming system, that shit would have been plugged in. Somebody would be like, hey, yo, I've got the solution. It's a green technology, and you don't have to buy no more gas.
Damn it, Jim.
Did I mention you don't have to get on a plane anymore? Yeah, you don't have to worry about people hijacking your plane and driving it into shit now.
No, you just have to worry about people hijacking your pad.
You just have to worry about people hijacking your genes now, son. Somebody got your DNA because it was all scrambled up in transmission. But anyway.
I'm sorry. I think they've been playing around. I think they have them in, like, the Pentagon.
No, they don't have them in the Pentagon. There's no way to break apart your specific grouping of molecules into subparticles, transmit that faster than the speed of light, and reassemble it in exactly the same way in an instant.
Aww.
We don't have that technology. Panda, we can't find like a 7-foot-tall Muslim in the desert.
He's probably buried under some sand.
How in the hell? So what? Metal detectors. He's on dialysis, for fuck's sake.
Well,
we can't find that guy, but you think in the middle of the Pentagon somewhere, they're just beaming people around the building for fun?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Wouldn't be the first time this country's lied to us. Oh.
Okay. So you're going to quit the government lying to us with them just hoarding.
They probably because they want us
machines
to spend money. And if we have to stop spending money on gas,
we have to spend money on putting in these very, very technical systems to transport ourselves? Not
in
only
my
do we have to have one in our
sense.
Home. Yes, this is. But I want to draw out the plan here. So you think the government would for free give each and every person on the planet
their own personal teleportation,
pad in their home?
No, I think the rich people would get it
free.
First.
But for free. You don't think that maybe, just maybe, they might want to recoup some of that billions of money that they spent making it by, oh, I don't know, charging individuals for the teleportation system? Not only that, they would also have to have technicians that could then do home repair for when your shit broke down or when your kid put the dog and the cat and tried to merge them together and make a cat dog.
Just like cutting me down.
I'm not cutting you down. I'm just making sure that I'm following the logic that's in your panda logic. I just wanted to make sure that I was on the same track, because sometimes I assume your track and I'm on the wrong track and then you yell at me. So I just wanted to make sure that I was with you. That's all.
Not yelling.
I'm not saying that you're not right. Who knows what the government does in the Pentagon? I don't work there.
They masturbate.
I'm sure on some film. Do. But you know what? That's not an image that I need.
Sorry.
So I'm going to move on. I'm going to go back to talking about Chris Balbino being a punk and the Xbox experience. So I've been playing a lot with all kinds of different user interfaces, between using different versions of operating systems on computers, different versions of operating systems on gaming computers, ones that I built or had built for me, as well as entertainment consoles. Definitely have had a lot of experience with different user interfaces for consoles.
Sorry. You okay now? Yeah.
You sure?
I shouldn't have drank that Coke.
No, you shouldn't have. Caffeine does very bad things to you. So, to say the least, I was really excited to be able to play with Xbox Experience early before it rolls out and everybody on the planet tries to download it and crashes Xbox Live.
I want to make a black one. Did they let you make a black one?
I was getting there.
Sorry, I got excited.
So, if you haven't had the ability to take a look at the new Xbox Experience, it is a whole new user interface for the Xbox entertainment system, and I really have to start calling it that now, because with all of the Netflix stuff that they've added in, the digital video stuff that they have, it's really now on the same level as Sony with calling the PS3 an entertainment system, where you can take your digital content from your computer, if you can actually get your computer to talk to your Xbox 360, you can sync things back and forth. So it definitely is not just a gaming box. What I love about the new experience is, as much as they've shown the demos and Major Nelson keeps saying it's fast, like really seriously, it's fast. Seriously, it's fast. So that's the first
pro. Like, oh my god, fast?
Like, wow, okay.
Like, wow, did we really actually do anything fast? Like that fast?
Yeah, like that fast.
Okay.
So the first thing that you have are a lot of the things that were on screen before that were really spread out, that were very difficult to read at times, are no longer that case. Everything is kind of consolidated into panels on the middle of the screen. And depending upon the size of your TV, I've got a pretty good size one, I can say that the panels are roughly about maybe five and a half inch in diameter panels. So you can very quickly see some information. And that 5.5 is based off of my smaller TV from in the old days. But on that panel, you'll have your name. You'll have your gamer score, which will kind of fluctuate back and forth between the time. And then you'll have different panels that allow you to go to different places. Most of these panels are called channels now. So you have a friends channel. You have a what's new on Xbox Live channel.
Messages channel.
Messages isn't a channel as much as it's part of the My Xbox channel. So the My Xbox channel basically is where you're used to starting on the dashboard. That's where you have your information.
Okay.
So messages, your friends that are online. The ability to create new messages, also see your avatar, as well as make changes to your avatar. And you'll also see a bunch of panels, depending upon how many games that you've played, with your recent achievements on those panels that you can then explore. Everything kind of moves. If you've ever used a Mac and seen the cover flow effect that's used, or if you've used iTunes and seen cover flow in iTunes, that's how you move in between your blades on your panels, which is really interesting. It's very fast and everything's very concise. And at the same time, with them using less of the screen to actually show off the information, I find that I'm actually seeing more information than what I'm used to. So for instance, I always had a hard time remembering where I went to change my theme and my gamer pick.
Like I changed mine too, now that you bring it up.
And it's always a pain because I would go everywhere I thought I was supposed to go and never to the place that I actually had to go. So I always wound up trying to find a cheap and or free theme to download so that it would bounce me into the theme area. And every time I did it and I backed out of it, I always told myself, okay, I'm going to remember it next time that I just have to go into here, not to the marketplace and not to my gamer card to do this.
Right.
Anyway, now when you go into My Xbox, the first panel that you have where you're looking at your avatar, where you've got the list for messages, you also have a button right there, and then it says change theme.
Woohoo!
Which is great, because then you can go in and use some of your other themes, including some of the ones that are included with experience. Now, what I downloaded, like I said, was an early look, and the download was actually fairly small. It wasn't a massive download. On my internet connection, it probably took an average maybe 3.5 minutes for it to actually download, install, and reboot my Xbox, which I was really surprised at, because I imagined that it was going to take longer than that, and it did not. But it's probably because I wasn't downloading experience at the same time as a bunch of other people on the planet. I imagine on the 19th, there might be a few more issues, just kind of like that big massive update to the Xbox last year around Christmas that they did right as sales of Xboxes went up and a whole bunch of people were trying to get on the network. So I'm really hoping that the launch of Experience doesn't kill Xbox Live. New features that they've added are this thing called Parties, which Pan and I tried to do earlier, and I was curious to see whether or not it would work with me
being
on the... Yeah, it didn't work, but it's because I was on the beta and you're not. I was wondering how it would handle that. All the other features work, so as far as doing the audio chat and sending messages back and forth, that worked fine. But what Parties does, and it's going to be very interesting to me to see how this really works itself out, is with a party you can basically have an ongoing chat that you invite some of your friends in. And the moment that they're online or you're online, they're instantly in the party and can talk to you, no matter what game you're playing or if you're just sitting at the dashboard. What I like about the ideas of parties is that if you're just getting together a group of people, you can just interact with that group of people in the dash area without actually having to get into a game. So it's kind of like the lobby idea out of home, if you're familiar with that, but actually put into use. So I'm hoping to bump into at least a couple of people that are on the beta, because I'd really like to check that out and see what it looks like. Because supposedly, depending upon whether you're doing audio chat or textual chat, there's some things hinted at that would actually have your avatars interact a little bit with what you type or said. So like if you type LOL, they might laugh or something like that. Just to kind of add a little layer of interactivity onto what it is that you're doing at the moment. But parties also let you get together groups of people to play in games. And I'm not sure yet if that includes community games, but I do believe that that includes most of your multiplayer games. So it'll be easier to do matchmaking outside of a game before you get into a game. As I mentioned, it's blazingly fast. It's very, very quick to move between your channels. Very, very quick to move between blades, which with all the graphics that are up on the screen, you would really imagine that it would take a lot of power and that it would slow down tremendously, especially where now more and more of the ads for Game with Fames and those types of events, as well as DLC content update, are all now moving panel or moving ads as opposed to just static images. You'd think that that would really impact the load time, but for right now, it doesn't seem to be doing that. So it's definitely a very clean experience.
I like clean.
Now, as far as avatars go, avatars are kind of, I think, in between what you can do and put together with your Mii and what Sony keeps promising out of their home experience. So the avatars of the new Xbox experience are kind of in the middle in between there. They're definitely much more articulated than those of the Wii system. You can change the clothes of your avatar. You can put on makeup if you're a girl, I guess, or if you're a guy in your emo.
Like a slut.
It's difficult to look like a slut. So that's one thing. As a matter of fact, it's really difficult to create an avatar that really truly looks mean or upset, because wow. They do borrow a lot of the facial styles, as far as eyes and nose and those types of features, from the Wii. So everything is still very cartoony and sweet.
Right.
So I set out to make a black goth chick, because I'm black and I kind of have goth.
You're not goth.
I have goth tendencies. I turn them off when I go out.
I hope so.
But when I kick it at home, it's Hot Topic wear for me. I didn't say it was emo.
I'm definitely
not punk.
Totally emo.
No. Not emo. Thank you very much.
Oh my god, don't call me emo.
I love
a stack of biz.
I don't have apathy. I have empathy. That's a difference.
I write in a live journal and wear thick rimmed glasses.
I don't.
Oh. You have Converse glasses.
You're damn right. And they're hot too.
Yeah, shut up.
They look like double uppers. Anyway, avatar design, fairly easy. I'm hoping that they will definitely add more items to what you can do with your avatar. I imagine that there's going to be all kinds of clothing that you can either earn in games, you can buy, those types of things. So I tried to create my little anarchist as much as possible. I got fairly close. I was able to find an anarchy t-shirt with some arm warmers, and I found a pair of gloves to put on that were driving gloves, so the fingers were left out, and I got my hair right and I got my glasses right, but unfortunately there's not a pair of pants with a chain one on them, and there's a whole lot of skirts and a whole lot of dresses if you pick a girl. What was really cute was that I definitely liked their pick a starting place avatar system better than on the Wii. So with the Wii, you could basically choose, I want a face like this. And then it would present about, 15 different options or variations where they would slightly change one or two things. And then you try to find one that was closer to what you like. And then you said, okay, no, I want a face that looks like this. And they would try to figure out what you changed between the first and the second choice and keep those items and then just kind of change out a few other things. With the new Xbox experience, they basically say, hey, pick a person to get started with, and they throw a bunch of different types of people at you. So guys and girls, tall and short, fat and thin, kind of grungy, clean, torn jeans, clean clothes, clean cut, bald, whatever. And then as you sit there and watch, some of them will start waving at you and doing things and trying to get your attention, kind of like a pick me type deal, which is cute, I'm not gonna lie. And that's what kind of threw me off a little bit. The new Xbox experience spends a lot of time being cute. It's good looking, but cute.
What's wrong with good looking and cute?
There's nothing that's wrong with good looking and cute. I'm not used to it on my Xbox as my interface. I'm used to it on my Wii, and I've come to expect that out of the Nintendo camp because of the market that they're going after.
Right.
I don't expect it on my Xbox, and I don't know how well that's going to be taken in by your hardcore gaming piece of the community.
We'll find out when it drops.
We'll find out on November 19th, but I think that a lot of the people that have been naysaying about experience probably find themselves or should find themselves fitting into that category, because anybody that has ever complained about not knowing where to find things on their Xbox, not being able to easily get to things on their Xbox, having to leave a game and go all the way back to the dashboard in order to see who's on and who's talking and really be interactive, or have to have the blade pop up and take up the entirety of the screen, which could, you know, depending upon a game having a pause feature or not having a pause feature, wind up with your ass getting killed. Now when you do that and you actually want to access the dashboard, your panel pops up in the middle of the screen, and so you don't lose any of your functionality. I actually found myself able to continue to sort of play in the background while that blade was popped up on the front in the new Xbox experience. So it definitely is designed with use of feature in mind. So it just, it seems to me like they really set it up because they want people to use all of the features that are there. They've made it very easy to browse your media libraries, both for pictures and music and movies. Very easy to watch demos and get rid of demos, which I think is great because if you have a smaller hard drive, especially, you're going to want that. But in order to have new Xbox experience, you definitely, definitely, definitely want to have a hard drive. I know that they talk about being able to use the memory cards for storage enough for the operating system. I don't believe it. So definitely make sure that if you want to take advantage of everything that's going to happen when the new Xbox experience drops in November, which the date is November 19th, so don't forget that. Make sure that you have your hard drive already set up. If you don't, you can actually, Microsoft has a program, definitely hit up their website on the Xbox.com page. But you can opt into, if you have one of the arcade systems or core systems, you can either opt into a free memory card or a very, very, very reduced price 20 gig hard drive so that you can experience when it drops on the 19th. If you're a big gamer, screw the little 20 gig drive. Just go ahead, be a baller, drop the dough, and get the 120 gig drive. You'll thank me for it later.
Sorry.
So what if it sends you back a couple of bennies? You know, you don't have to worry about storage for a long, long time. So you definitely want to do that. The design of the interface, again, I would place someplace in between the Wii interface and what Sony wants to do with Home. It's a little bit more edgier than the Wii interface, but in essence, it is very, very simple to navigate, very colorful, very soft edges on things. So I don't want to say that it's been ripped off, but there were definitely influences coming from the camps of Nintendo, especially, to help Microsoft kind of get the idea of what would work and what wouldn't work.
Right.
If I compare and contrast the two interfaces and then had to pick one, you know, I'm not sure where I would go. I love the fact that the community gaming piece has been built in now as a channel for the new Xbox experience. So developers, independent developers at that, who've created games using XNA, now have a channel where they can actually put their creations and let people try them, buy them, play them, whatever it is that they're going to do with their games, depending upon whether they want to make money or they want to be my friend and give shit away for free. But I just love the fact that indie games sort of, kind of, are now starting to find homes in places. You know, they had the Indiecade at E4All, there was definitely some indie titles with the PAX 10 going on at PAX. And there seems to be a lot more love for the indie game right now.
Right.
So I'm very glad to see that they're going to have a channel for those indie games that's easily accessible using new experience. So I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, it drops on the 19th of November. In my compare and contrast, the things that are big for me are speed, ease of use, and in all honesty, fun. The old Xbox interface was fast enough. Sometimes it lagged a little bit, especially when I was having some buffer issues with my internet connection when moving from blade to blade. Definitely a little bit of lag and responsiveness of my pushing buttons on the D-pad to actually seeing a result happen on screen.
Right.
I have much, much, much less of that right now in new Xbox experience. So if we're going to talk about speed, I'm going to have to give it to new experience. When we talk about ease of use, again, I've got to give it to new experience on this. Just because it is ridiculously easier to use. I think that Eshmom will be able to use new experience and figure out where she needs to go. It might take a while, but Eshmom could use new experience. And when you talk about just plain fun, there's definitely more things to do. I love sim games. I love games that allow me to tweak my character and make my character more of a reflection of me. So now that I can have a reflection of me present in my dashboard and present in my audio conversations and textual conversations with friends on the community, I gotta give it credit. New experience is much better than the previous Xbox dashboard. I know that it's taken them some time to pull this off, but man, I wish that they had been able to launch this dashboard just a little bit earlier than right now. So it's definitely going to be high up on the list of things to jump in and get or ask Santa or whatever holiday you celebrate, deity, item, idol, whatever, to give you for that particular holiday celebration gift thing that you may or may not do.
Bob.
Yeah. Because
who's the thingamajigger?
I think that experience was really designed to help the system appeal to the casual gamer and the family. And I think that they might have pulled it off. So right now, with the beta experience of the new Xbox experience, I'm going to have to give it a 4 out of 5 right now. For a while there, I was tooling around with maybe 3.5 to be more fair, but the fact of the matter is, it is much better than my previous dashboard. It was a much faster update than my previous dashboard. It is a good-looking dashboard. I mean, one of the things that I really like is that as you're looking at a game, it's much more distinct on being able to see how many achievements that you have in the game, how many are possible total, and how much of your gamer score has come from that game, because you can see how many gamer score points you've gotten and how many are available from the game total. Like, the majority of my gamer score has come from games that I was looking at and realized I haven't played in over a year.
Right.
And games that I never finished. And it was just really interesting to me because that's not anything that I've ever paid attention to before. I've always wondered, okay, well, my gamer score is finally getting up to a place where I feel, you know, a little more comfortable calling myself a gamer, but I can't remember where I got all those achievements from. I thought it was from one game, and it turns out not actually the game I thought it was. I got a shitload of gamer score points from playing games like Viva Pinata and Soul Calibur, which really kind of surprised me because I thought it came from other games that I was like playing incessantly. And then those games, I realized I only had 1 or 2 achievements for 5 or 10 gamer score points. So it was kind of eye-opening to me, but very valuable information, but not the information that I ever sought out because before I knew it was there, but it wasn't as easy to see, especially depending upon what theme that I used.
Hmm.
The fact that my theme is carried over makes me, you know, pretty happy, and that there's going to be some kind of carrying over for gamer picks, especially those that were purchased. So I'm looking forward to see how that happens. So do I think that the new Xbox experience is a killer app? Not yet. I mean, there's a lot to wait to be seen and how it rolls out, but it's definitely good. It's definitely a step in the absolute right direction, especially if you're wanting to open up and appeal to a broader market. You can do it with experience. Do I like it better than the existing interfaces right now for the other systems? I definitely like new experience more than the cross-media bar. I'm happy that Sony has made some changes to their interface, especially when it comes to inputting text. But the fact of the matter is, still the only way to do it without wanting to blow your brains out is to get the adapter pad for the QWERTY keyboard for your PS3 if you've got to put in a lot of stuff. So if you're doing text chat of any kind or going into the PlayStation Network store and you get tired of having to put in your account information but you don't want to tell it to automatically save your information, so that if your nephew comes over and decides that he wants to buy games that he does and he just get charged your credit card and then he says, "I don't know how that happened." If you want to avoid that.
I didn't keep it.
I said nephew. Are you my nephew? I don't think so.
No. Whatever.
But it remains to be seen. I want to know what home looks like. I want to know if home launches.
Is home really going to be a home or is it going to be an empty vessel?
That's what I want to know. But in the meantime,
is it a house or is it a home? We'll find out. Maybe.
Lucia says a house is not a home when I'm not there, and he's right. So I'm gonna be on the lookout. Yeah, I went there. I did.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's so cute.
Okay. Anyway.
Sorry, you went the cute route, okay?
I did. I admit it. I fully admit it. So I'm going to be on the lookout. I really want to be able to compare everything on the level playing field. And the only way that it's level is that if there's online community stuff for the Wii, which they've definitely tried to do with the Mii contests and send your Miis around and make the celebrity Wiis and all that kind of stuff. That helps. There needs to be more games with online play, though. The ability to chat back and forth with people in a game. I know it sounds lame, but it makes a big deal when I can jump into a game and, strategize with my sister on how she's going to help me get through my version of a castle, because...
Man, oh my god.
You know, that's got to happen.
So suck balls.
But without being able to talk to you directly, there's no way that we would have been able to pull that mission off.
No, that would have really sucked balls.
So without having that kind of piece in the Wii, I don't think that it's fair to compare the Wii online capability and interface specifically to the Xbox One and the Sony one. So I really would like to see that happen on the Wii to compare it now fairly to what Microsoft has to offer with the Xbox 360 and what Sony is going to have to offer with the PlayStation 3. But I can't do that until Nintendo ends that piece of compatibility on their system, until Sony actually releases Home.
Home on the range.
What's great to me is to see that the winner in all of this is us, because the community only benefits from these types of things. And that's why I decided to give the new Xbox experience a 4 out of 5.
I noticed.
Alright, so I guess I gotta do a little bit of business now. You gotta keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You can check any articles that we've written within the week, and you can comment on them thusly. If you don't want to do that, there's a hit us up link that you can send us an email directly if you'd like. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you should check iTunes, because we're up there. You can put us into any RSS reader. We'll pop up that way. Any podcast search engine will probably result in you finding us. And if you're one of the cool kids, you're probably listening to us on the All Games Network.
Our show airs Monday nights weekly, 9 p.m. ish Eastern, 6 p.m. ish Pacific time. Sometimes it's more towards the half hour on that, depending upon how long other shows run. But you
Super
should
Happy Button Show!
You should definitely check out episodes of the ESH show on All Games at allgames.com, as well as some of the other great shows airing on the All Games Radio Network, like Super Happy Fun Time Show and Dead Pixel Live, Evil Avatar, Ultimate Quest, Chatterbox. There's just all kinds of great entertainment over there. There's a little bit of something for everybody that's got a little bit of geek in them. And I think that geek actually is much more addictive and intoxicating than Captain Morgan's.
Shenanigans.
Don't call shenanigans on that.
Shenanigans.
So with that, I guess that business is done, so I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
It's toast.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to eat it.
That's good. That's a good.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm probably going to do the same, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it into croutons. And
you always put it on your Caesar salad.
Haha, I'm not having a Caesar salad. This time I'm going to do a steak and baby spinach salad, and I'm going to put it on that.
Oh. Okay.
Surprise! No chicken for you!
You just went M. Night Shyamalan on my ass.
I did.
Yeah.
I see spinach salad.
I see steak! I'm steak.
Alright. You're not steak.
Yes, I am.
You're Pandalicious.
I'm steak.
No, you're Pandalicious. No, and I'm Ninja Sister, and we are out.
Bye!
Peace!